we know now that one of the major ways, and Tesla, Nikola Tesla talked about this, about sound waves as being part of the healing, that we can heal through sound, you know, color and sound are going to be the new ways of healing and what have you. So sound is really, really important, because ultimately, even when we look at the star language or light languages or whatever name you want to give the frequencies that people are bringing in, all of it has a purpose. It's, you know, not random. And when you get small children, you know, bringing in these languages as well, you're wondering, what are they tapping into? And sometimes they're tapping into their own star family that are helping them with the frequencies as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we can understand that something is certainly shifting, and there's multiple reasons for this. What I would say to people, when you're meditating and you hear a certain sound, put out, what is this? Ask the question of your higher self and see what comes to you.
Right now on Higher Journeys with Alexis Brooks.
Mary Rodwell is here with us. What else do I need to say? Oh boy, it has been way too long. I like to go into a fancy introduction, Mary, but I'm just cutting to the chase. We've got our friend Mary Rodwell back with us after a couple of years, probably, Mary. It's been a long time. And I want to say, if I may, before we get started on our deep dive conversation as to ear ringing and the spiritual connection and beyond, that's what we're talking about. I'd like to put on the record, Mary, so many of us, myself, have been thinking of you and have been asking about you. I know that life for so many has been somewhat challenging. We won't go into the details, but I want everyone that's watching this broadcast to say a namaste and a prayer for Mary and the world, of course, for her continued strength and all the wonderful work that you're doing in the midst of some challenging stuff that you've been going through. If you don't mind me saying, I'm only doing that as really a request from the audience to send Mary your love. Okay.
Thank you.
So with that, welcome back, Mary.
It's always a pleasure, Alexis. We are very close mates, aren't we? I think we must be very coming from the same origin.
I feel that way. I miss you dearly, but I know that on the other side of the world, you continue to stay busy. Not just busy. You're not just doing busy work. You're doing yeoman's work in terms of your breakthroughs, continued breakthroughs, having to do with, frankly, guys, understanding the nature of reality, understanding the dynamic that we are dealing with, as so many of us are having more and more brushes with the enigmatic, including the beings that have made themselves known to so many of us. Today, we're going to talk about this phenomenon I've talked about before, called ear ringing or ear buzzing. We're not talking about tinnitus. We're talking about this sort of high-pitched, in some cases, including my own, a very consistent and persistent buzzing that's happening. And big question mark, Mary, we're going to get into this. Does it have some sort of connection to or affiliation with the beings that we may be conversing with? Does it mean a shift in our own being, I want to not quote Dolores Cannon, but I want to mention her work. The late Dolores Cannon really felt that this high frequency, certain kinds of ear buzzing may be indicative of some kind of a transformational shift or transformation of energy, really. Let's just start with that just basic framework in terms of it's more than just a chronic condition. There's something else going on. What are your thoughts on the shifting of energy as we hear the sound happening?
Well, what I've come to understand, it isn't tinnitus. When somebody has that, when they've walked into my office, then all of a sudden they'll say, just as I walked into the office, Mary, I'm now getting this high-pitched sound and what have you. And that's, you know, coincidence? Not really. It's what it's really saying is, and I've come to the conclusion with many that have experienced this, that there is a download there's a craft often around. So what they're experiencing is a connection at the right time when they're available for information or what have you, and often is when they're walking into my office. which is quite synchronous or whatever. But the other thing that goes with that often is when people go and feel they must just go outside and look at the stars and quite innocently go out there. And I will say to them afterwards, did you feel any different after you looked at that craft or whatever? And they'll say, oh, I found myself really interested in astronomy, or, you know, I'm starting to get really interested in this subject or whatever, because often there's not even sighting of the craft is more than that, that there's a download that's going on. Even they're looking and saying, oh, isn't that a bright star? Or look, it's doing interesting things or whatever. Often it's a download as well. But the high-pitched sound is usually because there is some intelligence there that wants to download information at a specific time.
That's very interesting. I've said, put on the record, gosh, probably about 4 years ago now, that I started having this high pitch, definitely not tinnitus, I've had that too, sound that appears to be coming from my right ear. I've heard people talk about the left ear. Mine is in the right ear. And I've often wondered whether it's even emanating from the ear, but rather in the our energy field in and of itself. But I have used, I'm now used to it. I use it as a focal point in meditation to see if I can kind of tap into, if it's a download, what it might be downloading to us. What are they downloading to us, Mary?
Well, that's one of the downloads that I think is happening when you get the frequency. But also that often goes with somebody spontaneously starting to write unusual script, symbols, or information. And that ties in with the upgrades that I think are happening with human consciousness at the moment. It's almost like we're being given what we need, and there's a variety of purposes to that. Right across the board, I meet so many that have had encounters of some kind or another and say, I find myself writing this strange writing, and some of it looks Chinese and some of it looks just symbols and what have you. And I keep getting pushed to do it this way, that way, and all the rest of it. I've been sent pages, you know, hundreds of pages of this kind of thing. And what seems to be is that they've got various purposes. And that one of the things that I understood was these are sometimes codes, sometimes programs, and what have you. And I'm just going to read out some of the other functions that come with those scripts or that strange writing. Also goes with the light language that some are coming out with. Those that do healing bring in the light language. Even the children are bringing in the light language. And I've got a video of children saying what that healing is doing. But let me give you some ideas. And this is from Tracy Taylor, some of this information. She said, some of these scripts are clearing and opening our higher consciousness. They're doorways. They are also healing damage done by learning and the use of the English language in particular, because that actually is programming us into a different kind of level of consciousness that we don't need because it gets in the way. Healing of physical structures of our human technology, receiving and integrating brain hemispheres, bringing people into a state of alignment within the present moment. The process of writing the scripts assists and awakens access to multidimensional realms of creation, enabling proper downloading of information and clearing of dense frequencies and much more. And when I say this is happening spontaneously, these, you know, many of the individuals tell me, and I've come across this very recently with an Indigenous lady who lives locally. She's become a really good friend. And she said, Mary, you know, right from when she was a young child, she used to be talking to the old ones and was told not to do it because people were afraid that didn't feel it was right that she should be doing that. So she closed off to a certain extent, but has opened up recently. And she's done pages and pages of different types of script. And sometimes it will go diagonally. Sometimes it will go left to right, right to left. And she said, and they keep pushing me. She's an artist as well. She's bringing in the frequencies there. But she had no idea what she was doing until she showed me. I said, you do realize these are the codes. These are from the downloads and what have you. She had not a clue, only that she was being pushed to do this and being told this is what you need to do. And of course, there'll be many that are listening to this that know that this is what they're doing too and wondering why they're encouraged to do it. These are some of the reasons that I've just mentioned. Because what it's doing, and if you've got intelligences that want to move us to another to access higher consciousness and higher frequencies, there's a lot of stuff that we've been programmed into that we need to release and let go, because it's getting in the way of that. You know that one of the programs is that you can't trust anything other than your five senses. We all know that's rubbish, but it's a program, and it's a strong one that comes in through education, science, psychology, all the different ways we get told not to trust that part of ourselves. And that's a huge program. So many of these different codes that are coming in are rectifying that.
They're rewriting the program, it sounds like. Literally, excuse me, guys, a lot of talking today. They're rewriting the program. Well, that brings me, again, Mary, you and I were talking offline about the, once again, we're going to talk about the repeating numbers. Also, some form of code that may indeed, unbeknownst to us, be rewriting just by our glancing at it, some of the programs that have been deleterious to us, maybe. There's some connection with that. Let's talk about that for a minute. The numbers, and not just repeating numbers, but number patterns that are persistent in an individual's life, seeing way beyond chance, there has got to be some sort of fabric with purpose behind why they're seeing these numbers. Would you put that in the same bucket somewhat?
Alexis, I think you're absolutely right. And the numbers of people that say they look at the clock and it always seems to be 11:11, that's the big one. But sometimes it's 22:22 or 33:33. Some are waking up in the middle of the night, look down at the clock and it's 33:33 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not coincidence when we're all doing it. And what I've noticed too, that often I'm drawn to the clock at a synchronous time, that it might be some information that's just come in. And I'm looking at that information, wondering, is it valid? And then I look at the clock and it's 11:11.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. You've drawn my attention to this again. So it's almost like there's another part of us connecting to the truth of everything. And we're being guided, and the numbers are one way that our consciousness is leading us to understand that.
I think a lot of what's happening is happening beyond our conscious awareness. And when people become so perplexed, wanting to know, why do I keep seeing whatever the number is? I don't know that it actually matters, because the work is still being done. Does it really matter that you understand? As humans, we're curious, we want to know, but it sounds like the work is being done in spite of whether we know or not. That's very interesting.
Well, when some come to me, and many have come to me, and they said they've not been sure why they've needed to talk to me, but knew that in some way they needed to. So I'm saying, they'll say, so I don't know why I'm here, but I would like to know what my mission is, or, am I doing what I need to do and what have you? And my answer has always been, you've been doing your mission right from the moment you were born, ultimately. So they're saying, but is there anything else I need to do? And I said, look, your soul isn't going to let you miss the bus. You've worked too darn hard to get here in the first place. Do you think that at the end of it, you're just going to forget? There's no way that's going to happen. It's just that you have to trust that it's going to unfold as and when it's needed, because it's a bit, I've sort of intuitively, it's like opening the book and reading halfway through the book and thinking, oh no, now I want to see what's on the back, the last page. No, we're meant to go through the journey of coming to the last page. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the human adventure, even though it's frustrating. But when it's time, it's like those that have been activated in the last few years, you would be amazed at the numbers that have said, since all this has happened in the last few years, all the dramas, all the chaos, all the world changes, both politically and economically and everything else, has been the activator for many to move to the level of awareness and awakening to what's really going on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've talked to countless people and heard from countless people that, you know, said clearly, despite the craziness of the pandemic years, it was their biggest epiphanies that happened during that time, the biggest leaps that they made in really understanding their themselves and their mission. So, you know, whatever force or source is behind all of this knows how to weave through all of those experiences and make everything count, make everything count. I want to talk, I want to bring in something we're staying on. We're going to stay on the ear. Really, sounds is what I'd like to kind of focus on, namely the ear buzzing, if you will, and the significance of that. But you also, when we were talking back and forth on email, mentioned about clicking sounds that could be indicative of the presence of, let's go back to the beings, the mantis beings. I want to play a clip for you, Mary, that you haven't heard for probably over 10 years. My audience, many of you probably haven't heard at all, about a woman named Kim Calkins, who you interviewed, not interviewed, you regressed. I interviewed her, actually. You regressed her. And upon listening to the playback of the recorded session, heard something very, very curious. Let's watch or listen to this and then have you comment on the back end, and we'll fold that into the conversation. So watch this. Let me play this for you.
I don't know if I'm hiding or they're hiding. They're so close.
Can they give you a form for you to connect to? Can you ask them to give you a kind of form so that you have a sense of them?
Oh, they're flickering. They flicker. They flicker.
I was able to dig that up from about 2005, Mary. This is fascinating to me to this day, what was happening here and the fact that you were not necessarily aware of that clicking, neither one of you, during the regression. It was only after that you picked up on that. This is also something that people are talking about hearing, and I have it too, not just the buzzing, but the clicking sound. Let's talk about that. How does that all tie in?
Well, after so many that I've regressed, and I've done many hundreds of regressions and what have you, there's often the comment that the mantis are close and they're hearing the clicking sound, and that's exactly what Kim was hearing as well. And the ultimate thing is, I remember doing a regression with a lovely lady that's no longer with us, and in the regression she's seeing the beings and she's talking to them, but she's talking to them and she's doing the clicking in answer to them. So she's clicking and doing back to them, and she's actually saying, and they're answering me. And when she came out of it, I said, did you realize what you were doing and what have you? What do you mean? And I said, well, you were answering them in this clicking language and what have you. She said, no, I wouldn't do that. No, that can't be right and what have you. I said, well, you're going to have to listen to the recording then, aren't you? Because she had
something.
Absolutely no recall of answering them in the clicking language.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting that the Bushmen in Africa, I think they're the pygmy Bushmen or whatever, they use the clicking sound.
That's right. Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about some aspect of us that is not front and center to our conscious awareness is almost off on its own track. It's receiving the numbers and fully understanding what those numbers mean consciously, or, you know, the personality may not understand or remember that they were, you know, returning the clicking back. But it seems like there's another aspect of us that's emerged from our, let's say, our mundane self, that's really doing our negotiating or talking or relationship. There's some other aspect that's fully operational. Maybe more of our DNA has been awakened to be able to communicate with these other forms of intelligence.
What I remember, and it's in this very room, there was, he's no longer eight, I might add, but when he came in with his mother and talked about his ancestors being the mantis, and he said that when he dies, he's going back to being a mantis, his mantis ancestry. And he also talked about when he was on the craft, that sometimes he, and he said the word I evaporate, which I think meant his soul, went into the form of the mantis. And he would stay in that for a short time and then come back to his human form. So he was actually commenting that his consciousness went into the mantis form. So there's a deep connection through his DNA, no doubt, or his soul origins connecting to the mantis. And it may very well be that the lady that was doing the clicking in my office was connecting to that aspect of herself, or she was able in her superconscious state to communicate that way.
To communicate. Well, it's like people that report having a telepathic dialogue with the beings. I don't think I have ever heard of anyone that said that the gray that came into the room and brought them on board craft spoke audibly. It's always a telepathic connection. I was actually just talking to Steve Mera, who I know you know out of the UK, about that dynamic and what it says about us and our capability. If they, being the beings, are able to take us through walls, we're going with them. Whatever is happening to defy the laws of physics, we're cooperating with that. If we're able to understand what they're saying telepathically, then we're also able to communicate telepathically. So again, it seems like there's more of us that's waking up and maybe even taking over these avatars.
We are living at a time of great challenge and incredible opportunity. A time when taking life into our own hands, charting our own course, and finding our own answers is more accessible than ever before. During this time, you may be asking yourself, what am I called to do? What if I could discover not only my own inner healing power, but help others all over this planet discover theirs? We all have the ability to heal ourselves, but it takes a special approach, a unique approach. Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique, also known as QHHT, a method developed by pioneering hypnotherapist and past life regression expert Dolores Cannon, is the approach that thousands have used and taught to access the deeper aspect of the self for healing at the core level. We all have the ability to tap into the higher self, the oversoul, the higher consciousness, and we have the means to help others to do the same. QHHT is designed to help the individual access the subconscious, the storehouse of all information, through visualization at the deepest level imaginable, a process that Dolores Cannon discovered and refined during her decades of working with individuals from around the globe. Training with QHHT will provide the guidance and give you the tools to help others tap that incredible force within. Now, you can access this exclusive training online, bringing the tools needed right to you, so you can assist others in finding their own answers and achieve total healing. This is powerful and needed now more than ever. Be a part of the pioneering work and legacy of Dolores Cannon by learning QHHT. Start today by clicking on the link in the description of this show to get started. And when you do, don't forget to mention Higher Journeys to get a 10% course discount when you sign up. It's time we all take back control of our lives and chart the course for success at every level. It's time to discover the power of quantum healing hypnosis technique by helping others to help themselves. And by doing this, we are helping to heal the world.
I think we're beginning more and more to understand that we are often connected to many of these intelligences that we are communicating with or visiting, or they're visiting us. And that, you know, there often seems to be a soul connection. And in regression, sometimes I will say, have any of you or is any part of you connected to any star origins to see if they come up with anything? And they may say, yes, in the regression when they're going to that superconscious self, I'm connected to Arcturus, or I'm connected to Sirius or Orion or Andromeda or whatever. Or they'll say it's not a planet from here. It's in another dimension or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now that simultaneously, they don't know I'm even going to ask the question 9 times out of 10. So there's no way they're prepared for it. There's no way they are looking to that until I ask the question of their superconscious self. But what it does do often is make a lot of sense to them that they have this connection. And often it seems that the craft that they're seeing are connected to that soul self and that connection they have with these star otherworldly beings.
A thought just came to mind in terms of the craft and what they may be. We've had this conversation before. It's been floated out there. Forgive the pun. Craft floating out there. And the idea that, Mary, they may be sentient, that being the craft in and of itself, not just being piloted by non-human intelligence, but may be intelligent in and of itself. What are your thoughts on that? A little bit of deviating a little bit, but I want to get your thoughts on sentient craft.
Well, coincidentally, even recently, I was working with a lady that I was regressing, because I do a lot over Zoom and Skype. And she's actually talking about standing. And I'm saying, so what's happening next? She had an experience where she felt she had missing time and whatever. And she said, well, there's this light. And then I said, okay, so what else are you sensing or what are you seeing? She says, I'm being observed. So I said, so who's doing the observing? She says, the craft. So it wasn't a being. It was the actual intelligence of the craft that was observing her.
So again, in our sort of finite understanding as humans, there's still this part of me that says, okay, is the craft programmed to be intelligent? Of course, I think of AI. Look how intelligent it has become. And yet we don't think of it as having a soul. But you're tempted to think there's got to be something somewhat akin to us that's controlling it at the base. But no, maybe not. Who's controlling it?
The sense is that these kinds of craft are intelligent and they're conscious. And there's often the inference that they're connected to many of these beings, which we call the greys or whatever, but maybe others as well, that are also connected from a consciousness level with the craft. But it does sound like there are often the ones that are more robotic are more like containers for that intelligence. It's what we're looking at. I mean, I'll use the analogy that if we, you know, our body does a lot of things quite intelligently without us thinking about what we're doing.
For That's example, right.
It breathes without us telling it to breathe. You know, it's healing without us saying you've got to heal. It's got an intelligence, and maybe that's a level that's much higher than that in terms of these craft. Working from that higher intelligence.
Absolutely. That's a great analogy. That makes perfect sense. It makes me go back to this term that I've used often on the show called panpsychism, which is the study, controversial as it is, that says that even that which is inanimate has some little measure of individuated consciousness. And can be animated and can, communicate or process information. So that's fascinating. Going back to the sounds, Mary, you know, I also talk to a lot of individuals who are listening to content like this, the things that we talk about, that maybe not having the ringing in the ears, that maybe not seeing the numbers, but maybe not having the encounters, but are very, very fascinated with it. What do you say to those people? I've had people say to me, I want to be abducted. That happened quite a bit, particularly in the pandemic years, interestingly, wanting to get off this planet. But in all seriousness, there are many people who are finding themselves attracted to this information, but they may not be experiencing these sorts of things. What would you say about them and to them?
Well, they may not consciously be aware of any interactions that they do in their astral form, because we do know from the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation surveys, 4,200 people, 600 questions, that 75% of the interactions are out of body. Mm-hmm. So 25% are physical. So they may not be consciously aware, but are going out of body and may very well be having interactions with these beings and these craft and what have you without conscious recall of that. Or they may just have them in dreams and not realize it. But if you have a fascination, or you're drawn to a certain subject or phenomena, there's a reason for that.
Absolutely.
There is a reason for that. It's, you know, I often say when people talk about past lives and whatever, I said, just think about the fact that, you know, on the globe, when you say, well, there's certain countries I really want to go to. There's others I don't care about at all. It might be, I don't know, Argentina, or it might be France, or it might be Alaska or whatever. I say, why do you think those countries draw you rather than others? And often there's a reason for that, because if you take them into a past life, they may very well go to a past life in Argentina or Africa or wherever, where they were drawn to. So there's always, your multidimensional self is giving you information all the time. The trouble is we don't listen to it half the time. It's our imagination. But if you've got a real feeling for a place or whatever, it's telling you there's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. And it may very well be that you're recognizing something within yourself that is relevant, even if it's not in this lifetime, that you are aware of it.
Right, right. Absolutely. I think that's a very poignant example. So many people that I've talked to who, particularly connections with Egypt and Atlantis, you know, feel a familiarity. They may want to go to places that resemble what they believed Atlantis to be like, or go to Egypt because Egypt is still here. But that's a whole other, well, obviously it's a whole other discussion in terms of previous existence, past incarnations, and life on other planets. Life on other planets. Let's talk about that. Life in the sun. I remember you telling me about a young boy who talked about his coming out of the sun.
Yeah, a portal in the sun from another dimension. He was a 10-year-old that was talking about this. But I don't know whether I mentioned, you know, one of the more recent ones was a young little 8-year-old that was saying that she was a hybrid. And she said, and I said, well, how do you understand that? She says, well, in my previous life, I was a water being. I came from a water planet. And she said, so I'm still part water being, part human. And she said, when I look in the mirror, I'm seeing my water being self. And she explained to me a little bit about that. But the fascination with her abilities was this, that she said, when she hears music, she says she doesn't just hear the music. She follows the frequency to where that music comes from the originator of that music, and she will feel all the emotions and all the senses of the person who created that music. So she takes it to a whole new level, but she relates that to her water being nature, that she's that ability and that awareness. The children don't see this is a big deal, but the fact she was able to mention exactly how she knew she was a hybrid and what she sensed about herself. And this is, you know, I've met people that have ultimately gone into past lives where they've been dolphins, for example.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a big thing. I think that's why so many people are just excited about swimming with dolphins. That's definitely, there's something going on there. I'm actually giving a presentation at Contact in the Desert, a little early plug, this coming June, where I will be making a connection between the animal kingdom here, ETs, and us. What is the connection? Do they act as emissaries, really, or a catalyst to bring us closer to the beings that are not here? So yeah, the dolphins, huge. Absolutely.
Also,
and they click. I'm sorry. They also click, do they not? Don't dolphins, is it dolphins or whales that have a clicking sound?
They do. They do. And it may very well relate to them in some way as well. It's quite possible there's something around that as well. You know, it's a very good point.
Wow. Yeah. Sound. going again, Mary, back to this idea of sound. Sound is a very powerful thing, we know, including the sound of our own voices. I say sound, well, it's a carrier wave. So we're constantly sending and receiving forms of sound. So in so much information coming through sound with the high frequency, high pitched ear buzzing, I'm still not convinced it's, you know, it's the ear per se, but we're perceiving it that way, as well as the clicking and other forms of sound. It's powerful. It's powerful. How can people use, let's say you're having, like me, the ear buzzing on a regular basis. Like I said, sometimes I meditate. I'll use it as a focal point and try to zone in on, rather than try to ignore it, I'll focus on the sound to see if I can get something out of it. But are there other ways, excuse me, I'm so sorry, people can use the sound, maybe even tone with it? You know, like a singing bowl where you can have your own voice kind of match the tone of the singing bowl. I don't know if that could be done, but to try to get more insight as to what we're being downloaded with.
I think that's a very good point and to deal with it. But we know now that one of the major ways, and Tesla, Nikola Tesla talked about this, about sound waves as being part of the healing, that we can heal through sound, you know, color and sound are going to be the new ways of healing and what have you. So sound is really, really important, because ultimately, even when we look at the star language or light languages or whatever name you want to give the frequencies that people are bringing in, all of it has a purpose. It's, you know, not random. And when you get small children, you know, bringing in these languages as well, you're wondering what are they tapping into? And sometimes they're tapping into their own star family that are helping them with the frequencies as well. I think we can understand that something is certainly shifting, and there's multiple reasons for this. What I would say to people, when you're meditating and you hear a certain sound, put out, what is this? Ask the question of your higher self and see what comes to you. Because, you know, we have the answers. It's all there. All we've got to do is start listening to it and trusting it. So ask the question, even if you feel you're talking to that higher part of yourself or your guardian angel or, you know, your guides or whatever, and see what comes back, because there is going to be the integrity of the understanding that you need.
Absolutely. I think we need to do that. Well, you know, I have to bring up this part of the conversation as well, Mary, and that has to do with some of the interference of what's going on with so many people, and perhaps factions that are well aware of it, that don't want the whatever the conduit is to be present to help people fully awaken. You know, could there be other sounds that are deleterious, more harmful? You know, people talk about, I believe it's 428 frequency versus 432 hertz frequency in music, how that's changed. You know, could there be sounds that are trying to interfere with some of these high-pitched sounds that are emanating from something that's more benevolent? And if so, let's talk about that. Let's get into that a little bit.
Right. All the conspiracy side of things. Oh, look, we know that the music was changed to be less beneficial in terms of the frequency for us. And we know that the ones that are working on that frequency know exactly that it's not helping us or whatever. And sound is really very powerful, because it does. It changes the way that we vibrate, the way we think, the way we tap into that higher part of ourselves. And there's been no doubt that there are forces out there that want to prevent us ascending and getting and activating that higher part of ourselves. Because what was interesting in the science in Russia that I've talked about a number of times, the Russian scientists that talked about human language changing the configuration of DNA, for example. And they said the way that you can alter and change the configuration into a more healthy configuration was through human language. But the human language has to be the right frequency. It's all about frequency. What's human language? It's frequency.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. So, and there's the science, you know, there's the science, because they they've shown this to be the case, that they can literally rectify damage to the DNA and what have you with using the right frequency. And what we do know is positive affirmations are a frequency that literally change the way that you behave and think with the old patterns. How does that work? It's because it's a frequency that constantly is there to shift your DNA into a more healthy pattern. And the mindset that we have, all programs that we're operating from, say something enough times and it will change your thinking.
Absolutely. And I say speak it out loud to the point of being audible, because again, when you are triggering sound, whether it's coming from your voice, a tincture bell, a singing bowl, you're putting it out into the field, literally. And even after the sound goes away, it still exists. So by speaking, as an example, your example, affirmations out loud. And by the way, I rhyme. I've done a lot on the show on affirmations and how they can be more effective, but rhyming, singing them, but doing it audibly is definitely, I mean, that's also a carrier wave. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I absolutely do. That's absolutely fascinating. What else with the remaining minutes that we have, about 15 more minutes here, and then we're going to the after show, as always, to continue the conversation. But what, we haven't talked in a while, Mary, and I know things are changing at warp speed, good, bad, or indifferent, in terms of the tone of the people that you're meeting with. Forgive the pun, tone. Are you hearing new things? Have any additional anomalies cropped up in your research? What's happening with the people that are coming out, and maybe patterns that you're seeing now?
I think we've got past all the old paradigm, you know, the abduction side of it and the fear-based. All of that now is shifting. You don't get so much of that anymore. And I think that because a lot of things have changed. What I'm seeing now is many people that, you know, I'll send them out my questionnaire, is tapping into the multidimensional side of themselves. There is definitely a shift into, I want to understand this. I've had it all my life. I want to know what this is about, what's going on, what's happening. And it's very much more on a positive resonance to how they want to understand it, or how they do understand it. So that's what's been completely different. There's still those that, you know, may go through the fear place and are still wondering what on earth is going on. But, you know, I do regressions all the time. And sometimes I don't even have to ask the questions now, because often in that space, they're dialoguing with the being that, you know, has taken them up onto the craft. And they'll quite spontaneously say, oh, they're telling me I consented to this before I came here. And I'll say, does that make sense to you? Yes, it does. And they're telling me X, Y, and Z. So they're getting all their answers in that space. And they're quite happy to do that. It's like, it's time for me to understand what's going on. And then they'll continue to take that into their everyday life because now they know they can. And they'll be asking the question. So what I'm seeing is a shift in empowerment in their multidimensional selves. The main thing is being able to feel like they can trust it. So, you know, part of my work is to show them how they can work with tools to trust that information. So the shift has really gone into a far more self-empowerment way of understanding their experiences. And it's been quite amazing to see how they've come to understand, oh, yes, so I'm connected to this. Yes, I was here in Atlantis. And what I was going to say was, there's a lot more connection to past lives. Only one very recently, I was saying, go to the origin of your experience, your first experience with these beings. And they went straight back to Egypt. They didn't go back. I was 3 years old. It was, and I'm having to take a double take, because, you know, often I'll say, is it relevant in your past life or your present life? But I hadn't said that. And all I got was, go to the origin of your first contact with these beings. And they went straight back to Egypt.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, right, so we're in Egypt now. And then the description of their contact with these beings from that past life was spontaneous completely. And it brought to mind many others that I've come across. And I don't know whether I've ever mentioned this to you. Many, many years ago, I was with one of my daughter's friends who wanted to go to a past life. And nothing about this was discussed, my other work or whatever. She just wanted to do, to have a regression to a past life. So I'm taking her back, and she goes back to medieval times, and she's describing being in, being a healer in medieval times. And so I said to her, okay, so who taught you, you know, who was your mentor? Thinking she was going to mention an old lady or an, you know, an older man, or, you know, someone of that time that was teaching her the medicines and the herbs and all the healing things, expecting to hear that. And she said, I learn it in the woods. So I'm going, okay, so how do you learn it in the woods? And she said, I said, who teaches you in the woods? And she describes a typical 4-foot gray being standing there, showing her the herbs and showing her where to pick the right herbs for different healing and what have you. And that was completely spontaneous. We were not looking for that. We had no intention to look for that whatsoever. But since then, many times with experiences, I found that they've gone back to another lifetime, mm-hmm. where their skills, they've brought those skills in back to this present life. And that's what often now is being awakened, is those skills, because they may come from a planet where frequency was the expertise of that particular culture or civilization. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like the young girl saying she's a water being, and music obviously in frequency is her forte and what have you. And interestingly, a lot of my other regressions, there's one to do with Sasquatch, Bigfoot, as a gentleman, Brian Bland, who has had many interactions with RE, this tribe of Sasquatch that he interacts with. And he wanted to know why he's got such a connection to them and why he's drawn to them and communicates with them and all the rest of it. So we did a regression, and lo and behold, three of his lifetimes, he's been Sasquatch.
Really? Wow.
And his partner, his wife, has also been Sasquatch as well. So it's not just looking at this life now. My work has expanded into multidimensional realities, parallel universes, different timelines. So we've got this huge matrix of complexity, for want of a better word. Mm-hmm. And remember, in multidimensional terms, time is not linear at all. Everything is in the now.
Absolutely.
So you can access those parts of yourself. And that's what many are starting to do now. So that's where it's changed. It's expanded from this life to other connections that is giving them more understanding of their abilities, their awareness, why they're having contact with these particular intelligences. And this is just expanding.
Sounds like it for sure. Well, I know that there's been a years long frustration with why is it that we, by and large, if we do reincarnate, why can't we recall our past lives? And it sounds like that too might be diminishing, that people are starting to have better recall, period. But the fact that it's coming up more in the regression context is saying that, you know, it seems that we are being privy, we're being exposed now to more aspects of ourselves, you know. And by the way, you talk about time not being linear, being a construct as we understand it, but more simultaneous. I've always wanted to use the term co-incarnation as opposed to reincarnation, because it could very well be that the life that we think we're living previously may still be going on.
Yes. Yes.
Hence the reason why we can access it now, if we can reach through the levels, if you will. Wow.
Yeah. And it may be encoded in our DNA as the way we access it as well. Who knows? I think this, what's interesting about the DNA, and I've mentioned it a few times in recent presentations, is that 1 gram of DNA can contain all the information on the internet. Just 1 gram, which blows my mind. When
That's
I think
amazing.
Goodness knows what's still encoded in our DNA, because they're still calling that junk, or, you know, it's not accessible at the moment. We've only got about 5% apparently that they understand its function. The rest of people don't.
Talk to Lucy I know one of your favorite movies, right? Oh boy, that's heavy. I think I'm going to watch that one again. Wow. What else do you have coming up, Mary? Are you speaking anywhere? I know that you've been kind of needing to be close to home lately, but are you planning on speaking anywhere anytime soon?
My next one really is very local in central Queensland, in Bundaberg. And it's a one which is bringing all the Indigenous information as well.
Okay.
It's called an Awakening Expo. And it really is about bringing in the Indigenous understanding, as well as, you know, and the connection to the ETs and what have you, as well as more understanding of Australia's ancient history, which brings in the Egyptians, particularly the Egyptians, because very close to me is the Gympie Pyramid, about 3 hours south of my where I live. And the gold that Tutankhamun had in his tomb came from Gympie.
Hmm.
So there's real connections in the glyphs, the Gosford glyphs, where they've got all the hieroglyphs and what have you, that it's, the government is having a great job in trying to destroy, it seems. There's a lot going on to try and destroy that part of Indigenous history.
Yeah. And
from what we can gather is that the pharaohs came to Australia to learn from the Indigenous Aborigines here. So there's, and I believe that's also goes for the Grand Canyon over in America as well, where there's been information about hieroglyphs found and visitors from Egypt in the Grand Canyon and elsewhere as well.
Wow, isn't that something? Mount Shasta area, another very curious place. We have so much just in this country alone, but we're talking about obviously many, 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 many years ago. And we could get into ley lines and energy centers that exist in some of these spots where information can be procured at deep levels. So, wow, fascinating as always. MaryRodwell.com. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure, because sometimes it's, you have the AU extension. I think, is it a CERN? Why don't you tell us instead of me guessing?
A CERN.com.au.
That's the one with the AU. Okay. All right. Well, we'll make sure to send people over there, have a link. And I know, Mary, are you taking on clients still? Are you full, or how's it working?
Oh, yes. I've always got new ones coming in virtually every day. So it usually is 1 to 3 weeks if someone wants a session, but you know, I'm still kept really, really busy. And what's heartening about that for me is so many of them are waking up and being empowered to put their information out there. Many of them wanting to write books. I've always said disclosure is going to come from the ground up.
Absolutely.
For the governments, let's all start speaking our truth.
Let's do it. That's a great note to end on. All right, Mary Rodwell, thank you so much. We are going to go next door to the after show. Please join us over there where this conversation continues a little longer. Mary, don't hang up. Let's go next door. Thank you, as always, for tuning into Higher Journeys. And I'm so glad you tuned into this episode because you got to see Mary finally again. All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.